Thank you so much, Pearl. Well, it is great to be with you this morning. It's good to be together. We are continuing our sermon series, The Upside Down Kingdom, Living the Surprising and Subversive Way of Jesus. And one of the things that makes our Lord's life really unique is just the way that he looked at people, the way that he sees people differently. How many times have you, if you're honest, looked at someone and just said, they're never going to change? They're never going to change. Perhaps it was a sibling, a child, a parent, a friend, next door neighbor, or someone who just seems so far gone. Maybe you've even prayed for these people, this person. We do live in a wonderful community here in Uxbridge, a beautiful place to put down roots, to raise children, to grow old, to leave behind our peace when we graduate to heaven. We are truly blessed. Yet beneath the beauty of this amazing community, people do struggle. People carry burdens that we're not always aware of. Grief and loneliness, disappointment, anxiety, addiction, questions about God. And every one of us is on a spiritual journey, and there's not two spiritual journeys that are the same. So there's a lot going on. I know in my own life as a young adult, I wasn't necessarily interested in God. And when I was living in Whistler, after a very serious snowboarding accident, I slowed down after knee surgery long enough to listen, to take a moment, and through conversations, my life opened to God, and I experienced a peace that truly surpassed any understanding that I had. And looking back, I'm grateful that God didn't give up on me. God could have said, Sean, you're on your own, pal. But no, the Good Shepherd was there. And that's the wonderful thing about God's grace, isn't it? Our lives, your life, is never static. It's never just the same. Your life changes. My life changes. Circumstances open up that we never imagine. The person who seems far from God today may actually be much closer than we realize. Enemies can become friends. People can change. And that's exactly where Jesus meets us in the Word of God today, the parable of the sower. Now, when we think of the parable of the sower, it does talk about the soil, right? It talks about the different soils, and often when we preach this or talk about this, we talk about the different soils, and it's the soil of your life and my life and where we're at, and you kind of think, oh no, I'm probably going to be the rocky soil, and you're probably thinking, ah. But what if this is more about the sower? What if it's actually more about the sower and who the sower is and less about us? One of the great temptations is to write people off too quickly in our time. We see it every day in the news cycle. Somebody makes a mistake. A celebrity falls from grace. A preacher or a religious figure gets caught up in something and then they fall. A politician disappoints. A young person gets caught up in a crime. Before long, we begin to define people by their worst decisions as it flips up on the news, and that's all we hear. There's a thing called, you know what cancel culture is, right? You know what this is? Cancel culture is when a public figure or an institution is rejected publicly and people begin withdrawing support, right? This happens in our world today. And so in some ways, it's a good way to hold people accountable. Somebody does something wrong, immediately with media, people get held accountable right away. On the other hand, what it can do is it can stifle debate, dialogue, stop people from growing, and stopping people from receiving forgiveness too, because we're so quick to write people off. They're done. This can happen in our own lives too, with a spouse or a son or a daughter, when someone has made a bad choice. A coworker who is always cynical and negative, and it's just hard to be around the person. It's difficult. Somewhere along the way, I think this has infiltrated our lives, and we quietly have lowered our expectations about people too. Without realizing it, we can begin only investing in people that are like us or that think the same as us. And that's easy to do. We just do that. When Jesus tells the parable of the sower, he doesn't begin by describing careful and calculated farming techniques, does he? What does the sower do? Whew. Every direction. And it goes on the rocky ground. It goes on the good soil. It goes everywhere. And my father-in-law, for sure, he was a great farmer, but my brother-in-law is a farmer, and he's so calculated about all of the farming that takes place. He has GPS, and these tractors are guided, and these seed drills plant at just the right depth and the right spacing so that germination can happen. And every pass through the field is carefully calculated to maximize the harvest while minimizing the waste. Seed, fertilizer, fuel, time, nothing is squandered because every input is going to cost you. It costs money. And that's how you and I would probably farm too. In fact, that's often how we live our lives. We invest our time and our energy and our resources where we think we'll get the greatest return. Who wouldn't do that? We naturally ask, is this worth it? We calculate, we measure, we evaluate the chances of success before we commit ourselves. At my wedding, I think it was my best man, he told a story about Sean. He said, Sean, he's so fiscally responsible. He one time bought, he's a 9.5 shoe. He one time bought a pair of shoes, and one of the shoes was 9.5 and the other was 7. And he crammed his feet in there because they were such a good deal. The disciples expected God's kingdom to work this same way. Surely the Messiah would invest in the most important people, the most promising people. Surely God's kingdom would grow through careful planning, a strategic plan for crying out loud. An obvious success is the goal. But Jesus tells a different story. Instead of seed falling neatly into the rich soil, much of it appears to be wasted. Some falls on the path and it's eaten by the birds. Some land on the rocky ground, which springs up, but it's not deeply rooted, so it just wastes away. Some falls among the thorns and is choked out, failure after failure after failure. This farmer seems irresponsible. Who farms like that? Who keeps scattering seeds where it appears to have little chance of growing? This is the tension that Jesus is creating. The kingdom of God doesn't seem to operate according to our logic, calculating. The sower just scatters grace. Maybe that's the point of the story. Not primarily about the soil. And Jesus explains that there's different kinds of soil for sure. But before he ever teaches about us, about the human condition of our hearts, he reveals the heart of the sower. The focus is the sower, who doesn't calculate. The sower doesn't ration the seed or stand at the edge of the field trying to determine which path it should take. What does the sower do? Throws the seed. The sower just throws the seed and keeps throwing. Why? Every person matters. Every person matters. God generously scatters the seeds, not because every heart is ready, not because every person has it all figured out, but because every person is loved by God. God's grace is more extravagant than we can imagine. God refuses to give up on people because God knows that hearts can change. The life that appears closed today is open the next day. When we look at Jesus, we discover that he doesn't merely tell this story, but he lives it out. This is what Jesus did. He went around welcoming people who others didn't, tax collectors. He offered forgiveness to notorious sinners. He patiently taught disciples who repeatedly misunderstood him. He spoke the truth to the Pharisees in charge. He warned those who wanted to silence. He even washed the feet of Judas, right? This is the Savior's heart. He even knew, knowing full well that Judas would betray him. Is this good news for sinners? Jesus never stopped sowing. Again and again, he extended grace liberally, this side and that side. Where others experienced and were expecting judgment, Jesus came with grace. This is the upside down kingdom. The world asks, who deserves another chance? And Jesus asks, who still needs to hear this good news? The world writes people off, but Jesus keeps sowing. The world gives up, but Jesus keeps reaching out. And even when it looked as though all was lost, when Jesus himself was rejected and betrayed and abandoned by his friends, nailed to a cross, buried in a tomb, God was still sowing the seed. What looked like a failure became the greatest harvest the world has ever known. Through his death, through his resurrection, through God's forgiveness, new life and hope are offered to everyone. Nobody is outside of this grace, freely given. This is the sower. God never stops scattering seeds of grace. No person is beyond the love. No life is beyond God's redeeming power. If this is the heart of God, this changes yours and my life. Our lives are no longer the same. Instead of asking, will they ever change? Perhaps we begin asking, what might God already be doing in their life? The harvest belongs to God. Thankfully, it's not on your shoulders. It's not on my shoulders. So this isn't a sermon that's going to say, now what are you going to do about it? But it's about the sower. The sower who loves and extends grace and keeps scattering seeds so something can bloom and plant and be planted and grow into something more beautiful. There's a wonderful story about an elderly man. His name was Thomas, and he faithfully attended church for years and years, quietly serving in the Sunday school. As time passed, he outlived all of his family and friends, and when he died, one old friend assumed that no one was going to be at his funeral. So he went to make sure that Thomas wasn't buried alone. It was a cold, rainy day, and after the service at the graveside, the minister was there, and there was an officer who had been quietly standing at the edge of the graveside service at the cemetery, and he stepped forward, and he gave Thomas a slow, solemn military salute. And as they walked away together, the man's raincoat opened, revealing that he was a military man. The friend asked, did you know Thomas? Oh, yes, the general replied. Many years ago, Thomas was my Sunday school teacher. I was a very difficult boy. I gave him a hard time. He probably wondered if anything had ever made a difference in my life. But I want you to know that I owe my life to Thomas because he planted seeds of faith that were planted in my life. And he never got to see the harvest. But God did. I think that's how the kingdom works. Most of us won't see the full impact of our lives because we're just doing what God has called us to do. Being faithful in the little things. Being present in somebody's life. Saying a prayer when nobody sees it or hears it. Yet the good news is the harvest is never dependent upon us. We just do what we're called to do, and God brings the harvest. We can trust the sower. As a church, we want to be this kind of community, partnering with Doctors Without Borders, welcoming a neighbor to church, inviting a family to messy church, serving at the community soup lunch in the fall, volunteering with a food bank, singing with the choir, knitting with the Knit and Natter group, simply sharing with a coffee with a friend, so much that you do that nobody sees. Last week in our service, Jesus reminded us how important it is to rest, to rest in our lives, and this summer is a good opportunity to take a rest. But this week, Jesus keeps it simple, and he sends rested people out into the world to sow seeds. Seeds of kindness, seeds of encouragement, seeds of trust that God has everything in his hands and is working everything for good. Imagine what God might do if every person here scattered just one seed in faith this week. One conversation, one invitation, one prayer, one act of generosity, one word of hope. Not because God's kingdom depends on you and me, but because the sower is so good, who liberally sows the seed, not concerned where it's going to fall, because God's grace is for all of us. So let us go into our homes, our neighborhoods, our community, with the generous heart of the sower, trusting that the God who scatters the seed is also the God who brings the harvest. Thanks be to God. Amen.